here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, May 18th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. Lots of news coming out of Washington, D.C. this week with the drama involving former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen ratcheting up to an 11 in this Supreme Court overturning a decades-long federal ban on sports gambling.
We'll have more on what investors need to know regarding the sports gambling case later on in today's show. But before we get to that, we have a few more fresh reports from the tail end of Q1 earnings season. We were retail heavy this week, so let's kick things off with some big box and department stores and move on from there.
Yeah, it's going to be like retail for the next few weeks.
It's interesting how I don't know how we determined fiscal calendars way back in the day, but it's the retailers always come last.
Yeah. But Home Depot kicked things off on Tuesday morning. Investors like Home Depot.
Yeah.
They always tend to perform really well every quarter. So the home improvement retailer posted adjusted earnings of $2.08, which did come ahead of our consensus estimate and jumped 24.6% year over year. Revenues of $24.95 billion, however, lagged behind the Zacks consensus, but it managed to grow 4.4% from the prior year period. Total same-store sales also grew 4.2% or 3.9% in the U.S., analysts expected 5.4% same-store sales, though. So overall, Q1 revenues and same-store sales disappointed and were lighter than what analysts were expecting. A longer winter and quote-unquote spring weather, even though we're warm now, but it was like really cold yesterday in Chicago for just some random reason. It was very frigid. So this not really spring-like weather that we were experiencing for the last few weeks, months, it no doubt hit the retailer's gardening business. But Home Depot did reiterate its previous 2018 forecast and is expecting total sales to rise about 6.5% and same-store sales to grow around 5% for the year. Analysts were disappointed because, like I said before, Home Depot usually knocks it out of the park every quarter.
Yeah, especially when the housing market is so strong.
Exactly.
Or just the economy overall, people have more money to spend on these home improvement projects.
Right. So. But when the weather sucks.
Yeah.
it can't.
And there's nothing they can do about
exactly.
that. Yeah, you know, and people are still going to do their gardening and their spring touch-ups and
just
stuff.
Just a
now
little
it's
bit
just
later.
Shifted into a different fiscal quarter for Home Depot. So.
Exactly. I mean, personally, I pushed the gardening that I can do in my apartment building, which is like buying random plants and soil and putting them in pots and hopefully they don't die. I don't get me wrong. I take very good care of my plants. I have a watering schedule. So I haven't bought any new plants this spring and it's almost June. So, you know, and I'm just one person.
Still. Oh, an anecdote, but one that I'm sure many people agree with. So moving on from Home Depot to the department stores, busy week for the department stores. We had department store giant Macy's earlier this week, posted adjusted earnings of 48 cents per share. It was a significant growth from the 26 cents reported last year and also well ahead of the Zacks consensus estimate of 36 cents. Quarterly revenue of $5.54 billion beat our consensus estimate of $5.44 billion, and that was up 3.6% on a year-over-year basis. Comps were up 4.2% on an owned plus license basis. Just on an owned basis, comps were up 3.9%. And Macy's also said that it registered double-digit growth in its digital business. Comps now expected to be in the band of +1% to +2% this fiscal year, 2018. Total sales are anticipated to range from a 1% decline to a 0.5% increase for the full year. And management now envisions adjusted earnings in the range of $3.75 to $3.95 per share. And that is up from its prior view. That's 20 cents higher on the bottom end and top end of that guidance. So interesting. It kind of seems like comps guidance and total revenue guidance is a little bit muted compared to the growth rates they had seen in Q1. But that earnings guidance getting adjusted up 20 cents is certainly a good sign. So a strong quarter for Macy's. Especially.
Investors went nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
They were let's just say Macy's has come a long way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you're right. Comps guidance and sales guidance is a little muted, but I feel like they almost have the guidance has to be a little soft because I feel like department stores don't really know or can't really anticipate as well as other companies and other industries
manage
what
those
consumers are going to do in the quarter, mm-hmm. in the upcoming quarters. So I feel like this is like appropriate especially for a company like Macy's.
Yeah. And if we're talking about, how the company sees the balance sheet this year, the earnings guidance there is obviously, that's a strong adjustment upwards.
Definitely.
So that's obviously a good sign. And you're right. The stock, this was Wednesday morning report, I believe, and the stock was up like 10, 11% on Wednesday. So definitely a great quarter for Macy's as we head into the rest of the year. And then it was followed up by rival industry peer Nordstrom on
my
Thursday.
Personal favorite department store.
Ooh,
Nordstrom.
Okay, wow, picking a side.
Oh yeah,
I've heard that before.
You haven't?
No, I haven't heard you say it. I haven't heard you outright.
Oh, I
say.
Talk about Nordstrom all the time. It's one of my I feel like I have said this maybe I haven't said it loud enough, so I'm going to say it on Friday Finish Line. Nordstrom is my personal favorite.
Planting the flag right
now. I'm a rewards member. I'm a credit card holder. Yes, I'm in there almost every weekend, whether it's just literally like passing through the store to get to the Grand Red Line stop here in Chicago just to look at shoes.
Oh, that's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, anyways, Thursday afternoon, Nordstrom posted its first quarter results. The company reported adjusted earnings of 51 cents per share, which beat the Zacks consensus estimate 42 cents per share. Meanwhile, the retailer saw revenue figures of $3.56 billion, and this is total revenue figures, which include like their credit card revenues. And this topped our consensus estimate of $3.47 billion and climbed about 6% year over year. So meanwhile, the department store's Q1 comps grew just 0.6%. But looking ahead, the company called for full year revenues to fall between $15.2 billion and $15.4 billion, which comes below our current consensus estimate of $15.8 billion. But I do want to point out that the Nordstrom is currently in the midst of executing a really interesting digital strategy, which they pointed out in its news release. So, I mean, I can personally attest to the amazingness, that's not a word, of its mobile app. I highly recommend you all download it. It is the best mobile app of any department store out there. Yes, hot take.
You better be getting a check in the mail for Nordstrom.
It's really easy to use, very user-friendly. I can access my rewards. I can always track my orders, can always track access my wish list, which is ever growing. Nordstrom, they increased its sales by enabling through its digital capabilities. So the app, website, and I'm assuming that includes Nordstrom.com, NordstromRack.com, Hotlook.com. And this grew 18% in Q1, and that's compared with the same period in 2017. So in digitally enabled sales represented 29% of first quarter sales, and that's up from 25% a year ago.
Wow.
So Nordstrom is killing it in the digital department. I think and especially compared to Macy's and just other department stores in general. And especially as we looked, and especially as companies like Amazon is really pushing online retail.
Yeah.
And really...
With clothes especially.
With clothes especially. Yeah, I think Nordstrom is one to watch.
That's a fast...
Their comparable store sales only grew 0.6%, so that is something to work on. But, we all have our ups and downs in every quarter.
That's a fascinating number there. Almost 30%. That's almost a third of the business coming from digital sales.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Free shipping, free returns. They did update their in-store return policy, which had a few customers upset a while ago. Because it was like, you could literally return something from years ago. But anyways, yeah.
All right. So moving on from Nordstrom. So good results, solid results from the two major department stores this week. We won't get into the numbers exactly, but not super great numbers from JCPenney this week. So running the spectrum, I guess, from department stores, but nice to see the industry leaders having a solid quarter. Looking now to Walmart, that would the big box behemoth, obviously. Also, its own bellwether for the retail industry, really just the consumer economy in general, filed its latest quarterly results on Thursday morning, posted adjusted profits of $1.14 per share. That beat the Zacks consensus estimate by 2 cents and was up 14% year over year. Revenue was about 4.5% higher, and U.S. comps improved more than 2%. The company also notched domestic digital sales growth of 33%. So that's definitely a solid growth rate there. There was much ado about Walmart's acquisition of 77% of the Indian e-commerce giant Flipkart. That actually has not fully closed yet. According to the earnings press release, the company is looking for that to close in this current quarter, and it would expect that deal, if it does end up closing in time and closing in fiscal 2019, it expects that deal to affect earnings per share by about 25 to 30 cents. So that is the major news for Walmart going forward. Mixed bag of results, decent on the top and bottom line. Stock's basically flat from where it was last week. The Flipkart thing, though, going forward, obviously, that was a real, I guess, you planted your flag for Nordstrom. That was Walmart planting their flag against Amazon in the battle for retail supremacy in India. Obviously, a major deal there, a company with really solid footing in the Indian e-commerce market. So keep your eyes on that deal as we move forward. Moving on, though, as we said at the beginning of the show, big news out of the Supreme Court. Well, big news to some of us. Big news from the Supreme Court this week in regards to sports gambling in the United States.
Yes, on Monday, the Supreme Court overturned a 1992 federal law that essentially banned sports betting in most states. The states are now free to implement their own policies and regulations for sports gambling. Estimates have suggested that this decision frees up roughly $150 billion in legal wages. So according to the study by the American Sports Betting Association, this move could add as much as $26 billion to U.S. gross domestic profit, create as many as 152,000 new jobs, and bring in between $4.8 billion and $5.3 billion in new revenues for the states. Per a research firm, legal sports betting market may bring in $6.03 billion annually by 2023. While an analyst at Jefferies estimates that the market for legal sports betting could be as big as $57 billion nationwide. I know you do a lot. Not a lot, but like some.
I've never illegally sports gambled ever. No, yeah. This is exciting times for us sports fans who also like throwing a little bit of money on games. I try to be responsible with it. I'm a very low stakes and not that frequently, but I know some people who are very into it. And obviously, I mess around in some sports books when I'm out in Vegas. So
I think that's what I implied. I never implied that you illegally did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I just kind of threw myself under the bus then. But yeah, we'll say it this way for people who don't know. There were ways to get around the ban. And it's interesting to, it's going to be interesting to watch it go kind of above ground and,
sure.
and be regulated and see what each individual state chooses to do with this. Obviously plenty of money to go around there. And of course, you know, just mention the sports books in Vegas, the casino giants like MGM, Wynn, Las Vegas Sands, Caesars Entertainment, those who have experience with these large sports books in places like Vegas can now move into new areas. Again, something that it's tough to say what specific plans are going to be right now, but we can make some inferences that the people powering the technology that could be used here, like the Stars Group, which trades under the ticker TSG, could benefit. This company owns and operates gaming and related interactive entertainment businesses. People might know Poker Stars, BetStars, Full Tilt, big on the online poker world. And I think this will be something to keep an eye on, this and its competitors. What has been a big thing in Vegas is when you're there, you can download an application, a mobile app, so you can just place your bets without even actually walking into the to the wager booth. And I think, you know, going forward, obviously it'll be different states by states, but I would expect to see that become some sort of trend where there's, you know, digital platforms or mobile applications that you can place legal wagers through. And obviously somebody needs to build out that technology. People with experience in the digital gambling universe going to have a head start there. Morgan Stanley released an interesting research note that this week that said the ruling is also a quote-unquote slight positive for regional gaming stocks. So two that they had noted were Boyd Gaming, which trades under the ticker BYD, and Penn National, which trades under the ticker PENN. These are multi-state gaming companies that could be in line to profit from this decision. These are people who are running, you know, gambling facilities in places that otherwise were not able to have sports books. If you will remember, the case was actually brought by the state of New Jersey. Atlantic City is a big place to go and have some fun and gamble, and there's casinos there. And I think that the state of New Jersey was maybe thinking we could solve a couple fiscal problems with a little bit of a new revenue stream, thought things were a bit unfair for themselves there, and they won the case. So I also want to mention UK sports betting companies like William Hill, which trades over the counter in the United States under WIMHY. Also, it's a UK stock or UK company, so they're also on the London exchanges. They have already talked about a potential expansion into the U.S. And have said that it could take as short as a few weeks for them to move over here. They have a CEO of a U.S. branch here. His name is Joe Asher. He had some really interesting comments about making sure that things are regulated and that the U.S. doesn't have any issues implementing these new laws. Other international companies are going to most likely follow suit, and so it'll be interesting to watch that foreign competition come in. For those that don't know, places like William Hill in the UK, they basically have just little betting shops, and they're, you know, right next to convenience stores. They're right in the middle of strip mall areas and little walk pedestrian areas, and you can just literally walk in and place bets and walk out. They give you a ticket, you come back, you redeem it. It's a big, I don't know how big in the culture it is there. I don't know the numbers and how popular it is, but what you do see is a lot of advertising for it in sporting events. So that'll be the other part of this that people will notice is, leagues like the NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, very popular sporting leagues that people were illegally wagering on, or they were wagering just in sports books, and they couldn't actually have any association with the gambling. They're now going to be able to go and say, oh, well, William Hill wants to come over to the U.S. Well, Illinois just legalized sports gambling. The Bulls want a little slice of that. All of a sudden, there's William Hill advertisements all over the United Center. So it's a new revenue stream for the sports companies, the sporting teams themselves, and the leagues themselves. And I could tell you that they're definitely excited about it. Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks and is also from Shark Tank, he said that the Supreme Court doubled the value of his company in one day with their decision. So get ready for all sorts of sports gambling advertisements as soon as the state you reside in legalizes and regulates however they choose to.
Great.
If you thought the daily fantasy sports advertisements were annoying when they first started up, the DraftKings advertisements, this is going to be 10 times worse. So look forward to that. Okay, that does it for us this week. As a reminder, you can shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now available on Spotify. Just search Zacks Investment Research there. If that's how you get your podcast, you'll be able to find all of our shows. Thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.